Today's daf is Samachay. We're going to start at the top of Samachay. Just finished that story about the guy who took the avadim of the other person and the son complained, etc. And then the father listens to his son and changes his ways. Okay, we're now at line 7 on Samachay. I think it's line 7. 1, 2, yeah? Okay. Amar Abaye. Hi, man de masik zuze de ribita. Today we're going to have all different kinds of cases, and the question is going to be, is it ribita, is it not ribita, does this work, does it not work? So somebody owes someone zuzim for ribit. V'ka'az lechite, so he, and somebody demanded ribit against the law. Okay, if you remember, we had a homachloket, you have to return the ribit. So this sugya is going to go according to the opinion that says you do have to return the ribit if it's ribita oraita. So here he demanded zuzim of ribit from his friend. V'ka'az lechite arba'a grive bezuza. Okay, and chitim went for 4, I forgot what grive are, I assume it's se'ah or something, but 4 se'im for a zuz, okay? 4 measurements.
Just measures.
Right, okay, 4 measures for a zuz. Beshuka. That's the going rate in the shuk. Okay, so he owes him a zuz, and let's say a zuz or whatever it might be, right, in a zuzim, but it's 4 for a zuz in the shuk. The yayv le'ihu, but the loved decides to pay him chamisha. So he owes him a zuz. Instead of paying him a zuz, he pays it in chitim, but he pays, instead of 4 measures equals a zuz, he pays 5. So now the question becomes, now the guy didn't ask for 5, right? The malva asked for 4. He asked for the value of a zuz. When the loved gives him more now, and he now gets taken to court, you took rebit, you have to return the rebit, okay? What does he have to return? Does he have to return 5 or does he have to return 4? What's your question?
Why don't they ask whether it's the same as adding extra coins and it might be just a gift?
Ah, so in that case, that was when the malva gave money to the loved, not as rebit. This was when he was just lending him money. This is in the context of rebit, though. It's part of his rebit payment. He's paying this. So the question is, well, that's also part of the issue here. You'll see. It is perceived somewhat as a gift. We're going to see these 2 opinions. So, kim avkina mine, arba amavkina mine, idach, okay, it's in other words, this is what the Gemara is going to say. Okay, when we now are motzi, those 5, what do we say? We only have to be motzi 4. As idach, the other one, the 5th one, ozulehu dekam mozil gabe, the lova decided to give him a better rate on it and throw an extra one in. So it's like you said, it's basically treated as a gift. Rava Amar, chamisha mafkina mine. No, I disagree. He gave you 5 as a payment of rebit, because demiikara b'torah rebita ati liyade. How did it come into your hands? It was a rebit payment. So what if the guy gave you a better price? He gave it to you as part of the payment of rebit, and you have to return the payment of rebit. Okay, now we're going to see a few more cases like this, but each one a little different. Va'amar Abaye, okay, remember, he's the one who said, ozulehu tekam mozil gabe, and you could just look at it as if he's giving you a little extra. Ha'iman demasik arba'a zuzei deribta b'chavre, someone was owed 4 zuzim of rebit, he demanded 4 zuzim of rebit from his friend. V'yayv le'glima b'gavayu, he gives him a cloak that was worth that amount. So kimafkina mine, now the question is, when he has to return the rebit, what does he have to return? Does he have to return the cloak, or does he have to return 4 zuzim, the value of the cloak? Right. This is like Veshiva Tagzela Asher Gazal. If we look at it as Gzela, then he has to return the actual glima. But if we look at it as, well, he demanded a rebit payment of 4, so we make him pay a rebit payment of 4. It doesn't have to necessarily be the glima. So what does Abaye say? Exactly that. Arba'a mafkina mine, glima lo mafkina mine. We don't demand the glima. We just demand the 4 zuzim, which was what he demanded in the first place. Rava Amar Glima Mafkina Mine. Rava says, wait, there's a different consideration that you're not thinking about, which is what? My taima, why do you have to return the glima? Ki hechi de lo limre, glima de machase vekai, glima de ribit yahu. We don't want people to say that cloak is a cloak he demanded for ribit from this guy. Again, it goes to this whole issue that we discussed yesterday about. It's all about how it looks. We don't want, it's like the children who have to return the stuff of the father. And there's a concern that people are going to say not nice things about this person. Amar Rava. By the way, part of this links into, okay, both by the father. Well, the father is not relevant because the father's dead. But when it comes to this kind of a case, we're going to get to in Sanhedrin, that one of the people who are not allowed to testify is a milaveh beribit. Why is he not allowed to testify? Because someone who's milaveh beribit is suspect that he's trying to make a quick fix of money, right? And he might lie. He might take money to lie in court. So therefore, it's very important not to have people suspect him that he takes ribit, because in the end, they won't accept his testimony in court. What does it say?
This says that that we're concerned about in the cloak is chilul Hashem, which you could also say is why he can't testify. Because if he's somebody who's willing publicly to be mechal, yeah.
Right. Well, that won't explain why he... That would explain something different. That's why they would say, this is a case we don't want people to say, it'll be a chilul Hashem.
Right.
But what's the chilul Hashem exactly that...
Flaunt his violation of the commandments by having asked
to be. I see. That he walks around saying, I don't care about the
right.
mitzvah.
Which,
okay.
if that were true, you wouldn't want him being...
Yeah, but that's not connected, no. When we get to testimony, it's clear that the concern is always someone who is trying to make money quickly, like a gambler, that he'll do anything to get extra money. Okay, another case. This is going to be an interesting one. Amarava. Haiman demasik tracer zuze jirib tabachavre. Somebody, right, he demands 12 zuzim of ribit from his friend. V'agr lechatzer demitagra ba'asara v'ogre niale betreser. Instead of we had the guy gives him money, he gives him chitim, more value for his money. That was the first case. The second one, he gives him a cloak. This case, he says, I'll rent you my house, okay, or whatever it might be. Now, usually my house rents out for 10, but I'll rent it to you for 12. And that'll cover, in other words, I really won't rent it to you for anything, but I owe you 12. And 1 month's rent of this house is 10. I'll pretend, we'll say for purposes of this transaction, the rental will be for 12. And you'll say, great, I'll use this for a month, and that will cover my ribit payment. So basically, even though it's only worth 10, he's claiming that it's worth 12, and the malva is okay with that. Follow? And the malva says, okay, no problem. That will be my ribit payment. I'll use this house for a month. Perfect, my family is coming to visit. We'll take it for a month. That will cover my ribit payment. Even though I know you're not paying me the full amount, we'll just assume that this covers the full amount. So now what becomes the issue? So now, kimaf kina mine. So now when we say to the guy, hey, you took a ribit payment against the law, you now have to pay back this amount. So how much do we pay? Right? Does he pay the 10 of what the real market value of the house was? Or does he pay 12, which was the deal to begin with? So what do we say? Treser mafkina mine. The deal was for 12. He rented it for 12, so to speak, because it covered his ribit payment. So he has to return 12. So amar le ravacha midivti le ravina. But Rav Acha Midivta says to Ravina, I don't understand. Can't the malve claim ki agrahachi to have a kamishtar shili? I did this so that, right, how do we translate this? So, right, I was willing to kind of absorb the loss, right? I was willing to take it and just say, fine, no problem. But hashta, de lo mishtar shili, ki de agre kule alma, hu de agrana. Okay, so now he says, but now I'm just trying to figure out exact translation of this word, mishtar shali.
How they use it? Profit, really. At first it was a profit to me, but now that it's no longer a profit to me, I'm not willing to.
So that's how we would say it, right? As long as it was profiting me, I was willing to say, well, but it's not profiting.
It's not great, but that's
really, right. Right. In other words, as long as I was getting my payment, it's basically, I didn't have to pay out of pocket. Yeah. As long as I didn't have to pay out of pocket, I was willing to take a smaller payment. But now that you're telling me that not only, right, that I can't, that I actually have to be motzi more money, I got less for my ribit, and now I have to pay more? How could you possibly make me do that? So now they say, mishum de amarle, because he can say, who can say, the lovet can say, savarta v'kibalta. In other words, it's not really the malveh, it would be the right, it's the loveh would say it, but it's really the court, right? In other words, the court can say to him, you accepted this, right? You accepted it upon yourself that this land that's valued, or this house that was valued at 10, you were willing to take it for 12, so now you have to pay it back. You have to pay it back at 12. Okay, so basically, they disagree with Haracha Midifti, and they say, you really have to pay it back at 12. I was thinking that this connects a little bit with also, as we all know, when you get into rentals, there's no actual real amount, right? It fluctuates depending on supply and demand, and And it's also something that's not exactly valued at an exact value. So maybe that also plays a factor here. Okay, new Mishnah. Marbin al ha-sachar ve'em marbin al ha-mecher. Okay, we'll explain in a minute what this means. Ketzad. Hiskir lo et chatzero. He rents him his chatzer. Va'amar lo. And he says to him, Imech shavatano tenli. This is a very classic business deal. Right? You go into the store, they say, if you give me mizuman right now, we'll give it to you for less. If you pay tashlumim, we'll give it to you for more. Right? Like gas. Why like gas?
If you pay ashray, in some places it's...
If you pay ashray, you get...
It costs a little more than if you pay mizuman.
Than if you pay mizuman. Okay. So, right, I was thinking when you go to buy appliances, right, they always try to give you these deals. Oh, if you pay mizuman right now, you know, we'll give you a better, you know, better rate. Okay. So, ketzad iskir lo et chatzero v'amar lo, imech shavatano tenli, if you pay me right now, harehu lecha be'esher sla'im l'shana. I'll give it to you for the rate of 10 sla'im for the year. V'im shel chodesh b'chodesh, but if you want to pay me, right, if you pay me up front, then you can pay me 10 per month. Machar, now I'm remembering what's really, they do this with Arnona. If you want to pay your Arnona for the whole year up front, you get to pay it for less money. Machar lo et sadeh, I'm sorry, but if chodesh b'chodesh, if you want to pay every month, right, give me a monthly payment, so then sela l'chodesh. Then I want to sell it every month, which is going to come out to 12 slim a year instead of 10. Mutar, this is allowed to do. Macharlo, it doesn't talk about what if it's a leap year. 13. But anyway. Macharlo et sadehu. So if you do this in a rental contract, it works. But macharlo et sadehu. Okay, remember what it said. Marbin al hasachar. Right? When it comes to schirut, you're allowed to add. You're allowed to pay extra. But aim marbin ala mecher. But it doesn't work when it comes to a sale. And in the Gemara, we're going to get to what's the difference. So he sells him his field. Va'amarlo. Imech shavatan otenli. If you give me all the money up front right now, harei yishalcha be'elef zuz. Then I'll let you pay me 1,000 zuz. Im legoren. But if you want to give me over time, right? If you want for, right? How they? I mean, goren is the storage house.
It's threshing season.
Right. If you want me to wait till the threshing season, which I guess means then you'll have more money on hand, because what happens then? You sell your produce in the shuk. So if you want to wait till you have more cash on hand, bishnema sarmane. Okay, that's going to be for 1,200, right? Which is going to be 1,200 as opposed to elef zuz. Asur, that is forbidden. So now the obvious question of the Gemara, maishna resha, maishna seifa, right? Why does one work and one doesn't? Rabbi Rav Yosef, who we heard from the other day, they also have what to say here. Da amre travayu. Schirut eina mishtalemet ela basof. When it comes to renting something, generally, okay, now it goes to general practices. People generally pay for a rental contract at the end. Therefore, what's the whole problem with ribit? It's hamtanat ma'ot, right? You're paying up front and you're getting it up front and you only have to pay the money later. But here, since you weren't expected to pay the money at this point, you're not getting any benefit from pushing off the payment, because you're not pushing off any payment. The payment's only supposed to be at the end anyway. So what's happening here? Hi kevan deloma tezimne lemigba, since the time for collection isn't yet arrived, lava garnaturle. So therefore he's not getting any benefit. Mishvahu dehacha shavya. That's really what it's worth. What's really happening, he's saying, I'll give you a better rate if you give me all the money now, but you really don't have to pay me the money till the very end. And therefore, it's not rebeat, because he's actually paying what the item is worth, which is the way you would look at a sale. When we go pay for something, really the price is the higher price. They're giving you a discount. It's all a matter of how you perceive it, right? But if they're giving you a discount, then it's okay. If they're making you pay more because you're not willing to pay up front, then that's more of a problem. Okay? Although here they're saying that the issue is really that you don't have to actually pay till later.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
The difference between, in that argument, the difference between the house and the field.
So we're going to get to now the other one. They're explaining the rental.
The house.
Okay? The rental versus the sale.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's a chatzer versus a sadeh, but that's not the important part. The important part is that it's a rental. If it's a rental, then the expected payment date is only at the end, which means that you're not actually getting rewarded for paying delay. Right? For there's no delay in payment. The whole issue of rebate is you're delaying the payment, and here there's no delay in the payment because that was when you were supposed to pay. Okay? So now. Okay. Seifa, but the second case, Kevan Dizvine Ninhu, since it's a sale, Ubai Lemishkal Dame Me'achshav, right? Who moves into their house before they've actually paid? Right? You pay, right? You never move into the house until you've actually paid. Hilkach Agar Natarle Hu. Okay, therefore, if he says, you have to pay me more, if you pay me later, then he's getting Schar Hamtanat Ma'ot. Okay? Vasu. Amarava. Daku barabana bahamilta. The rabbis actually learned this out from a pasuk, the ukmakra. Okay, they were medayik in this thing and actually found a pasuk that connects to this. Not that they learned it from here, but you can see it in the pasuk a reference to it. Kisachir shana b'shana. What does that mean? Kisachir shana b'shana. Okay, this is a pasuk of in Vayikra Kafe at the end where they have all those things about, you know, the land and the property and all that. So he's like a sachir shana b'shana. What does it mean? Sri ruch al shana zo enem shalemet ela b'shana acheret. Okay, shana b'shana means you pay for the year at the end of the year. V'im legorim b'shneim asar mana asur. Now we're going to talk about this, where we said it's asur if it's a sale. Now we're going to see that it's not always asur. It depends on the situation, right? Because this is your classic discounted, right? Just because it's a sale. So, you know, and again, where do you draw the line between I'm giving you a discounted rate, or where do you draw the line between what you're paying is extra because of Hamtanat Mo'ot? Okay, we describe the case as you're paying extra because of Hamtanat Mo'ot. It's not looked at as a discount. But now they're going to give a few different cases where it's allowed, and they're going to talk about the differences. I'm Rav Nachman. Tarsha Shari. Tarsha is allowed. What's Tarsha? Okay, Tarsha is considered a case where you sell something on credit, meaning the person's going to pay later, but you sell it at a higher price, okay? It's basically like we said about paying tashlumim, okay? It's saying you're going to pay tashlumim, but you're going to pay more because you're paying tashlumim, okay? So now how could that be allowed? That's what we just said in the Mishnah is a problem. So, obviously, they're going to ask that. Etive Rami Bar Chama le Rav Nachman. Okay, now some people say it was Rav Ukma Bar Chama said Rav Nachman. Some people say it was Rami Bar Chama. They must have been brothers. V'im legorim b'shnei masarmana asur. Doesn't it say if you're going to sell something and say pay me at a later date for a higher price, it's forbidden? And clearly, a tarsha is not where that's the going rate, and if you pay up front, you pay less. But it's the opposite. It's that everyone knows in a tarsha you're actually paying a higher rate, and you're doing it because you're allowed to pay it later. So that should be exactly this case. So what do they say the difference is? Amarle hatam katzle hachalo katzle. In this kind of shtar, what happened? Katz means it was agreed upon, right? We said it from the beginning. Which one was we set from the beginning? The Mishnah. The Mishnah, the guy said, either you pay me now and you pay me less, or you pay me later and you pay me a higher price. That is classic repeat. That's saying, if you wait, then you will pay more. A tarsha, it's just implicit. It's not specified if you do. You just say, I want you to pay me this and pay me in installments, right? In other words, you can pay me in installments, but pay me this higher price. But you don't say the opposite. But if you pay me now, I'll actually give it to you for less. And because you don't stipulate that, I think the best word would be to stipulate, right? It's stipulated and this isn't stipulated. Because it's not stipulated, it's okay. And now we're going to see a few different types of tarsha cases where rabbis come and said, the tarsha that I do in my business practice is allowed. Okay, so now you're going to see that on the one hand, even though the Mishnah says this isn't good, the rabbis, first of all, for themselves even, right? Sometimes rabbis might say this is okay, but they don't do it themselves. All the rabbis did this for their basic business practices because this is how people made money. So they all kind of justify it and claim that it's different from the case of the Mishnah. Now, whether it's inherently different or not is a good question, right? The Gemara comes up with an answer as to, well, it wasn't stipulated. If you didn't say both sides, then it's okay. It almost sounds like a Tanai Kaful, right? If you don't say both sides and the Tanai doesn't work, that's because you didn't say the other side, so it doesn't really look like Rebeat. Okay, remember, all this is Rebeat to Rabbanan anyway. So Amra Papa, Tarsha Digishari. Now remember what the issue is always with Rebeat. It has to be that the Malva is getting some advantage. Right? That's why it's called ribi. So what does he claim? He has a beer factory. He sells beer. So now when he sells his beer, what happens? There's the pre-season and there's the later season, right? The later season, it always costs more once everything's ready and the prices come out, etc. So now he says it's okay because what? My time. If I sell it in the low season for the high price, and I say, you can pay me in the high season, the high price, but I'll give you the beer now. Well, I'm not gaining anything from that deal. Why? Because shcharai lo pasid, my beer is not going to go bad from now until the high season. Right? My beer will stay till then. And zuze lo tzrichna, Anna. Zuze lo tzrichna. I don't need the money, right? Because I'm basically not getting my money now. Right? I'm getting my money later. Anahu dekavid na milta gabe lokech. So he's saying, I'm doing a benefit for the lokech. He's getting his shechar now, but he's the lover, right, in this deal. I'm the one who you're looking at to say it's ribi. But I'm not getting any advantage. If I would wait till the winter season when I sell my beer, what will happen? I'll sell it for the exact same price and I'll give the guy the beer. So instead, what did I do? I gave him the beer now. From my perspective, I gained nothing except that I gave the beer already now. Obviously, I don't need the beer, but I didn't gain a thing from this whole deal. So he says, therefore, clearly this is okay because I'm not getting any, nothing was in my benefit. Because if I just waited and sold it to him at the high season, he would have paid me the high season price. And if he were getting money that was higher than the high season price, then that would be, but he's not. So therefore, he says, I'm not gaining anything from this. So it's not ribi. Amar le Rav Sheshe, Bereidu Rav Idi le Rav Papa. Here's like a good, I like the perspective here. He says, wait, you're missing something. My chaze mar dekar aza batar didach. You're only looking from your perspective. But zil batar didhu. Look from the lovest perspective. Di ilu hava lehu zuze, hava shakle ki hashta. If he had the money now, he would have paid you what? The lower rate. So hashta delet lehu zuze, shakle ki yokra to lekame. But now that he doesn't have the money, you're locking him into this high price. So you're actually getting an advantage for the fact that he doesn't have the money. So you're kind of loaning him the money so that he pays you the higher price. So you're actually getting an advantage from it. So he's saying, depending on your perspective, you look at it clearly from your perspective and you say, I'm not getting an advantage. But if you look at it from the Lova's perspective, you actually are getting an advantage. Because if the Lova had money now, he would have paid you a lower rate. And then you would have lost out and you wouldn't have gotten this extra. So you're actually gaining. It doesn't mention, by the way, that if you don't give it to him now, right, maybe he'll go somewhere else. Right? People always try to lock people into sales now, even if you pay later, because then they know they've locked you in and then they're going to buy from you and not from the next store.
And he doesn't have to pay storage space. And he knows he sold it, which is a benefit because...
Right. Well, I think the benefit of him knowing that he sold it is something, and maybe that's a little bit what Rav Sheshet doesn't say it directly, but maybe that's what he's also getting at. Anyway, Rav Papa doesn't have an answer to that. Okay, he doesn't respond.
He's saying from the perspective of the buyer, you're penalizing him. It's not so much you're getting an advantage; he's being penalized by buying it now.
I think it's that he's being penalized. I think it's that...
He's being penalized for not having money right now. Because if
right.
He had the money...
Yes, it's true. It's a disadvantage for him, which turns it into your advantage, basically.
Yeah.
Any disadvantage to the malva becomes your advantage. I think that's how he's looking at it. Yeah.
To begin with, like, the problem could be this really a disadvantage.
So that the whole perspective is you're disadvantaging someone else. So Rav Papa was clearly only looking from his perspective. And that's not what Rebeat is all about. Yafeh, I like that. That it's really that he's supposed to be looking at the other person's perspective and what loss he's causing the other person. Okay. Amar Rav Chama, Tarsha Didi Vadai Shari. Okay, my Tarsha clearly works. Okay, now what's his Tarsha? So the Mefreshim explain different ways, a little bit, different variations, but he would give merchandise to other people, middlemen, to sell. Now, he would, where he lived, so the prices were cheap, but he would sell it for a high rate to these messengers. They would go sell it for a higher rate in a place where the higher rates were going. So they would basically go to, you know, a more expensive shuk and they would sell it there. And then he would basically get this higher price, right, for his merchandise using these middlemen. So what does he say? So I'm getting a higher rate, but it's not rebate because What he claims is, okay, it doesn't say this all inside. You have to look in the Mefreshim and see. They talk about it. That he, in this case, though, it wasn't that he sold it to them and then they could go sell it for a higher price. It was that, first of all, he gave it to them on credit. They didn't pay him right away. Okay, that's why it's a tarsha. They were going to pay him on credit only in the event that they sell it for the higher rate. And he assumed responsibility for the merchandise until it was actually sold. So therefore...
It's a consignment.
Right, it's on consignment, exactly. So therefore, he's claiming this is not rebate because it wasn't really a sale. They didn't own it fully because I was accepting upon at least partial responsibility. It's not clear how much responsibility he accepted, but he definitely accepted partial responsibility. So my time, so now what does he say? The benefit that they get from me, in other words, it's true. Okay, now generally, what's rebate? They pay a higher rate, and what do they gain? Right, they gain that they get to sell the item and they get to use it and only pay me the money later. But what he's saying is the reason they pay a higher rate is not because they're getting the item now and, you know, get to use it and only have to pay me later. There's a different advantage that they're paying for, and it's not schar hamtana ma'o. Okay, it's not because they get to pay me later that that's why. It's nichule de leku birishute. It's better for them to have this produce in their hands when they go to the shuk. De kol hecha de ka'azle shavkale michsa v'nakutle luhu shuka. Whenever they go to a shuk now, they have two advantages because they're using because it's on consignment from me, okay, Rav Chama. I belong to the house of the Resh Galuta, and the Talmidei Chachamim that were part of the Resh Galuta, we saw yesterday in the Sukkah Shir, right, that they clearly have all these advantages and in a sense, at least a little bit, use their high position to get advantages. What were the advantages they had? They don't have to pay taxes. Okay, and they always get the first priority in the shuk. Like people buy from them first. It was a certain status that they had. So therefore, that's the advantage. That's why they're willing to pay me, because in the end, they'll be able to sell this much easier than if they sold someone else's stuff. So therefore, they were willing to pay the extra for that and not for the scharim tanat mode. And that's why it's okay. And now the Gemara says in Hilchatak Rav Chama, and actually we paskin that way, that in this kind of situation, it works. The Hilchatak Rabbi Elazar, okay, now we have to go way back. This is, by the way, we had a sugya like this in Gittin. We're at the very end of the sugya, they went back and they said, and Hilchatak like this, and Hilchatak like that, and Hilchatak like that, and you have to try to remember what all these things were. Mm-hmm. What's Rabbi Elazar? He's the one who said that Rabbi Kitsutsa, you can demand, right, the Yotza B'Dayanim. The Dayanim can basically come in, as we saw from all these cases that we just debated this morning, about how much do they take back, right? It was clear that they hold that we do take back the rebate. If you pay the rebate, the court can take it back. Again, only if it's rebik tzutzami d'oraita. Okay? V'hilchata kerabi anai, da'amar mali heinu mali demein. That was the second part of the Mishnah. Remember, the first part relates to the first part of the Mishnah about the rebik tzut, right? The rebite d'oraita. And the rebite rabbanam, we explained is in this case, that convoluted case, that you can switch items for other items, or for the right, for the value of the item. You don't have to actually return the item that you borrowed. You can return the value of the item, right? And even when there's a fluctuation in price, right, depending on how you do it. If only in the case where yeshlo, remember, he has to have it on hand. If he has it on hand, he doesn't actually have to give it to him at that point. He could give it to him at a later date. A new Mishnah. Macharlo et ha-sadeh. Now we're going to have a tricky case. He sells him a field. V'natalo miktzatami. But he only pays partially for it. V'amarlo, ematai shetirtze, havei ma'ot v'tola tshelcha. And the guy says to him, whatever you want, bring the rest of the money, and then you can take your property. This is going to be forbidden. Why is this forbidden? Because the whole question is going to be who eats the payroll, right? In other words, the field right now doesn't really belong to either one, right? He sells him the field, he pays him partial. But then he doesn't pay him the full amount yet. Now, if he never pays the full amount, right? Let's say the lokeach wants to eat. Okay, the lokeach now has, the field isn't in his property yet, but he's hoping it will be down the road. Then what happens? He never pays, so let's say he eats the payroll. Let's say he never pays the rest of the money. So in the end, what happened? What was the money that he gave him in the first place, right? Let's say he gave 50 and he owes 150, okay? So the 50 went to the mocher. Now, when he doesn't end up paying his money, what happens? The 50 goes back to the lokach. The mocher gives the money back to the lokach. What does that end up being? It was like a loan. The mocher took out a loan, right? It turns into a loan, basically. He had the 50 and now gives it back because the 50 went to nothing, basically, except for his use. He had use of the money while, you know, he thought the guy was going to pay him. At that point, what happens? So the lokach becomes a malveh, and if the lokach ate payrot, then when he gets his 50 back and he got payrot, it was ribi. So that's the problem from that perspective. Let's say, okay, the other way around, the mocher eats the payrot, okay? So the mocher gets his 50. What happens? If the lokach gives him the other 150 down the road, right? So now what happens? Really, the field belonged to the lokach, and he was eating payrot, right? It was basically schar hamtana ma'ot. He basically wasn't going to get his money. It was like a loan. He said, I'll give you, you know, your 150 you'll give me later. And when he gets his 150 back, he's also gotten an extra advantage that he ate payrot. So it would be ribit. So either way you look at it, it's going to be ribit. Hilveyu ala sadeh. Al-sadeh. What if he says, I'll lend you money and I'll give you my field as collateral. Va'amar lo, im iata noten li mikam ba'ad shalosh shanim, harehu sheli. In that case, right, the malva says, listen, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to take your field. I'll give you money, but you have to give me your field. And if you don't pay me, you know, my loan within 3 years, the field will be mine. Harehu shelo, this works. V'chein haya Baitus ben Zonin osel pi chachamim. And Baitus ben Zonin, who we saw before, he used to do this. Okay, now, the question, the Gemara is going to start asking on this question now. So what happens to the field in the interim? Right, these 3 years, the field is safek lokach, safek mocher. We don't know what's going to be exactly. Mi ochel perot. Rav Huna omer, mocher ochel perot. The mocher gets to eat the perot, he says. Why? Because the perot, right, are, we're going to see exactly, okay, let's hold off before we explain, because we're going to have to explain this better. Okay, why the mocher gets to eat the perot. Rav Anan amar, mishalshinet haperot. The perot go into an escrow account. It's going to be, right, some third person. That's why Mishalshin, right? Shalish is a third person. It comes from Shalosh. So he's going to keep the payrot. Okay, no, it could be he sells them in, right? It's obviously the money. It's obviously not we're going to keep them for 3 years. Okay, and we'll see in the end what happens. If the Lova pays back, then the Lova will get the land and he'll keep the payrot that were in the interim. And if not, the Malva's going to get it and it'll be his. Now they say the lo pligi. Rav Ani and Rav Huna actually don't disagree. They're talking about two different situations. Hada amar lechi, this is in the case where, one is in the case where it said, where he said, lechi maitit kane. When you bring me the money, 1 second, right, then it will be yours, okay? Let me just make sure the ownership goes. Right. In other words, right now the field is mine, the mocher says. But when you bring me the money, it'll go back to you. It'll be yours from that point on. Okay? Vahada amar, and therefore, what are we going to say? Therefore, clearly the mocher eats the payrot because it belongs to him all of that time until the lova pays. But hada amar, but the other case is when we say mishalshin, when you bring me the money, it will become retroactively yours. Well, if it's going to become retroactively yours, obviously we're never going to know whose it's going to be.
Not never, just for 3 years.
Right. In other words, in the interim, we're not going to know.
So what was the original question if it was that was the case? If that was the case that it's only takes ownership at the point when he pays, then what was the question?
No, because the question was, I guess, if we don't specify. Now we're going to say... Right. And they did right. In other words, it's specified either which way. What if you didn't specify? It doesn't really say what's going to be. Okay?
Take retroactive possession. That's what they translate.
What? Right. That's what it means.
In the Mishnah.
In the Mishnah. Well, right. That's because they're translating it based on this.
Okay.
Okay. As the Mishnah already is being interpreted based on the way the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. What the Mishnah actually meant, we don't really know. And the fact it's not clear, and that's why the Gemara has to ask the question. Once we explain it, well, then it's obvious. But it wasn't so obvious to them beforehand that was the case. And what isn't clear is, what if it wasn't specified? I guess if it wasn't specified, then you'd have to leave it open. You'd have to see, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't really relate to that, which is interesting. Okay. Tani Rav Safra beribita debe Rabbi Chia. We saw this before. There was these dinim, this bright of ribita Rabbi Chia that came out of the house of Rabbi Chia. Rav Safra, who I think it was Rav Safra also who quoted from there last time. He quotes another brighter from there. Pa'amim sheshnehem mutarim. Pa'amim sheshnehem asurim. This is, we've seen this with Yavama, right? There's like four possibilities. There's times where both can eat the payroll. There's times when neither can eat the payroll. There's times where the mocher can eat and the lokech can't. Pa'amim shamocher mutar v'alokech asur. U'pa'amim shalokech mutar v'mocher asur. Okay, so we have all four possibilities. Ani Rabba Batre, Rabba explained now, answers this. Pa'amim sheshnehem mutarim, da'amar le, kine kishior zuzcha. Okay, where he says to him,
acquired in proportion to your money.
Ah, right. Whatever, okay, what was our example? He paid 50 and owes still 150. Okay, so in that case, what if he says, well, you pay me 50, so 50 of this is yours right now.
A quarter of the produce.
And, right, exactly. Okay, or whatever it might be, whatever percentage, right? Whatever you bought is yours, and whatever you didn't will be yours when you give it to me. So now, in that case, what's going to be the case? Obviously, the mocher can eat the part that he hasn't yet sold, and the lokach can eat the part that he bought already. Pa'amim sheshnehem asurim, da'amar leh, lechimaitit k'nei me'achshav. Right, when he says to him, when you give me the money, it will be retroactive. Well, then no one can eat the payroll because we don't know what's going
to
be.
That's the case where it goes to the third party for us.
Exactly. Pa'amim mocher mutar v'lokech asur. What's going to be the case where the mocher can eat but the lokech can't? Da'amar leh, lechimaitit k'nei. When you bring me the money, then it will be yours, but in the meantime, it's still mine. And last case, pa'amim shalokech mutar v'mocher asur. Da'amar leh, k'nei me'achshav. Okay, when you say, it's acquired to you, you pay me only 50, but I'll give you all the land now, it will be yours. V'zuzeh lehave halva agabcha. Okay, and you'll just owe me money, basically. It'll be a loan. So obviously the mocher can't eat, because if he eats, it'll be a loan with ribit. But the lokech can eat, because he's basically saying, the land is yours, and you just owe me money. Now we have a loan out between us. Now they're going to say, man tana shnehem asurim. In the case where we said shnehem asurim, right, which was the case where he says, when you give me the money, it will be yours retroactively from the beginning. Amar Rav Huna, Bered Rabbi Yoshua, Delo ki Rabbi Yehuda. This is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Remember Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? De'i Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar, tzadcha b'ribit mutar. Remember Rabbi Yehuda, at least according to one interpretation, that was what he said in that machloket? That tzadcha b'ribit mutar, if it's not clear it's going to come to ribit, then it's allowed. In this case, since we don't know what's going to be, maybe the lokach will never pay the money and they'll stay in the hands of the mocher, or maybe, right, and either which way you look at it, we can say it's all suffix. We don't know what's going to be, so therefore it might not end up being rebate at all.
One of the outcomes will produce rebate.
One of the outcomes will produce rebate, but we don't know if that outcome is the one that's going to happen.
But in that case, in either case.
In either way, we saw that it was rebate. Right, I was actually thinking that that's really true. I also was thinking that that's the case.
We don't know if it will ever come to rebate.
Right, so in this case. Right. If the mocher eats it, and the lokach, no, each way one of them could have possibly, but depending on what happens, each possible outcome could lead to rebeat, but it also could not lead to rebeat. In other words, we said it was going to be rebeat, whether we look at each option could potentially lead to rebeat, but can only potentially lead to rebeat. If the lokach never pays the money, so then it will revert back to being the mocher's, and then the mocher won't be paying ribit. If the lokach eats, it will be an issue, if that happens. And the other way, if the...
I understand what you're saying, but I guess what my question is if one case is not happening, is it definitely true that the other case is happening? Are they inversely proportional?
No, so they're not, because there's four possibilities of what could happen. There's two within each one.
About the case of Shnehem Asurim.
Yes, so Shnehem Asurim, let's go through the case, okay? We'll go through the case and we'll see. Shnehem Asurim was the case where the guy paid part, right? And he says, it will be yours retroactively from here.
Right.
So the mocher gets 50. Mm-hmm. If the lokach never pays the rest of the 150, then the mocher will end up keeping the land to himself, and he can eat the payroll because it was 100% his.
And does he have
the lokeh can't, because remember, oh no, one second, wait, because if he, according to this one, I think it's the opposite, one second. What did we say? The mocher, if he never, right, if he never buys the land, it's dafka problem for the lokeh, for the mocher. If he never buys the land, then it ends up, it was a loan. It was a loan for the mocher, and therefore the mocher can't eat the ribit. But if the lokeh ate the payroll, then, but it wasn't his to eat. But it's not ribit, I guess.
I thought it turned into a loan and it became ribit. So it turned into a loan where he borrowed 50.
No, but he didn't borrow anything, and he used the land. But that, we don't really call...
He couldn't eat the payroll.
Use the land. Ah, right. So if he used the land, right. He used the land, so he kind of got use of the land. It's not ribit. I mean, maybe he doesn't deserve the payroll, but it's not ribit. Right? That's how I think you would look at it. Right, so Rashi, let's just look in Rashi. Tzadchad, dilma ate lidei ribit. Dilma lo ate, ketzad. Im mocher ochlam, if he eats the payroll, velo gamar lokech mikcho. Right, he dafka says, ein kam ribit.
Okay, so it's not
okay. Gamar yesh kam ribit. Aval sefa dekatani mocher mutar velokech asur. Right, he claims, right, he says that that would actually not be ribit. Why not? Because, even though we said it would be ribit, because then it's in the end, it's as if he had a... Before we dafka said that case would be ribit, because it's as if the mocher got to borrow money and
does
get back money.
Does the mocher have to return the 50 if at some point the lokeh doesn't pay the rent?
Yeah, he has to return the 50 because it's not his money.
Because then the lokeh has worked the land, he just hasn't had any benefit from it because he hasn't been able to eat the produce from the year.
Right, well the question, no, well the question is who was eating the payroll? If the mocher ate the payroll, that is, who's working the land at this point? Depends
if they
who's...
They both ate the payroll.
Yeah.
Then in either outcome, one of them is going to be paying rebate. I guess that's...
Right. Yeah, let me
and
just think for a minute.
I thought I understood it until we started discussing it. I'm more confused than I was before you asked.
Let's start from the mission.
I don't see the mocher ribit in this case. He loans, he takes ribit, then the sale gets invalidated, but he ate the perot.
No, the sale gets invalidated, right. Which means it's his. It was his stuff to begin with, right. You know what? The case where we saw it was different, where it was hilveu ala ma'ot, that's why. No, it was, one second. No, it was the same thing. Mochar lo atasadeh, he gave him part, and he said, matash ha'tirtzeh ve'maho betol shalcha asur. That case, we said it was asur because even if the... Right, we explained that, the way the Mepharshim explained it, that it could potentially be ribit either which way. And now we're saying it's not necessarily. I see what you're saying. Okay, so...
Could potentially be sort of... doesn't contradict that necessarily. It might work out that way or it might not.
We work.
Right. I don't know, because the way they explain the Mishnah seems to say that there is Easter rebeat in this way. But in this case, they're not explaining it. I don't know what to say about it. It's a good question. We'll have to leave it for right now. Okay. Because it seems more simple like this. We just say, if he never pays the money, well, then the lamb was always belonging to the mocher, and it's not a problem. Okay, the problem is that the Mepharshim, when they explain the Mishnah, seem to say that even that could potentially be a ribit problem because he is getting money for nothing,
which I think
according
is how
to
you
that.
Explained it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. I explained the Mishnah the way they did, and then it doesn't really make so much sense. I don't know. I need to look into it. Okay. Macharlo bayit, macharlo sadeh, va'amar. Oh, let's stop here. Okay, I see it's late. Fine, we'll stop here for today. We'll finish up with this tomorrow.